Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Tuesday, February 1st. Happy February, and I am reading from the New International Version. We are going to start with the book of Genesis, beginning with Genesis chapter 26, starting in verse 17, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. Then we'll be in Psalm 52, and also in Mark chapter 13, verses 14 through the end of the chapter. Okay, here we go. Genesis chapter 26, beginning in verse 17. So Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar, where he settled. Isaac reopened the wells that had been dug in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died, and he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. But the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, "The water is ours." So he named the well Esek, because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled over that one also. So he named it Sitnah. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled over it. He named it Rehoboth, saying, "Now the Lord has given us room, and we will flourish in the land." From there he went up to Beersheba. That night the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham." Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent, and there his servants dug a well. Meanwhile, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar with Ahuzath, his personal advisor, and Philcol, the commander of his forces. Isaac asked them, "Why have you come to me, since you were hostile to me and sent me away?" They answered, "We saw clearly that the Lord was with you. So we said, 'There ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we did not harm you, but always treated you well and sent you away peacefully. And now you are blessed by the Lord.'" Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. Early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. Then Isaac sent them on their way, and they went away peacefully. That day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. They said, "We've found water." He called it Sheba, and to this day, the name of the town has been Beersheba. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. And now let's move over to the Psalms. Today we are in Psalm 52. For the director of music, a Maskil of David, when Doeg the Edomite had gone to Saul and told him, "David has gone to the house of Ahimelech." "Why do you boast of evil, you mighty hero? Why do you boast all day long? You who are a disgrace in the eyes of God, you who practice deceit, your tongue plots destruction. It is like a sharpened razor. You love evil rather than good, falsehood rather than speaking the truth. You love every harmful word, you deceitful tongue. Surely God will bring you down to everlasting ruin. He will snatch you up and pluck you from your tent. He will uproot you from the land of the living. The righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at you, saying, Here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth, and grew strong by destroying others. But I am like an olive tree, flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. For what you have done, I will always praise you in the presence of your faithful people, and I will hope in your name, for your name is good. Before we move on, I want to comment on this psalm a little bit. Remember in the subscript, it said that this is a maskil of David when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Do you remember that story from 1 Samuel chapters 21 and 22? So Doeg happens to be in the house of the Lord when David arrives, and David is in distress. He is fleeing from Saul, but Ahimelech is there and seems to have had a relationship with David where David would come and ask for wisdom from the Lord, from the priest. And also he was hungry that day, and so the priest gave him some food and also a weapon. It was the weapon of the Philistines, Goliath weapon, actually. And so in that moment, Doeg sees all of this happening, and he goes back to Saul, and he tells Saul about having seen David. And Saul brings Ahimelech, the priest, and other priests over to talk through the matter. And this is what he says in verse 12 of chapter 22. Saul said, "Listen now, son of Ahitub." And he answered, "Here I am, my lord." And Saul said to him, "Why have you and the son of Jesse conspired against me, in that you have given him bread and a sword, and have inquired of God for him, so that he would rise up against me by lying in ambush, as it is this day?" Then Ahimelech answered the king and said, "And who among your servants is as faithful as David, even the king's son-in-law, who is captain over your guard and is honored in your house? Did I just begin to inquire of God for him today? Far be it from me. Do not let the king impute anything to his servant or to any of the household of my father, for your servant knows nothing at all of this whole affair." So in other words, Ahimelech's like, "I didn't know that you and David had bad blood." He's come often to inquire of the Lord, and he's like your most faithful servant ever. 16, but the king said, "You shall surely die, Ahimelech, you and all your father's household." And then he turns around to the guards and he says, "Kill him." But the guards see that this is the holy priest of God, and they're not about to kill Ahimelech or the priests that are with him. And then he says to Doeg, "You turn around and attack the priest." And Doeg kills 85 men on that day. And this is why in the psalm, David says, "But God will break you down forever. It seemed on that day that evil had won, but verse 5, he will snatch you up and tear you away from your tent and uproot you from the land of the living." And then this is David's trust. In a moment where everything seems to have gone awry, the righteous will see and fear and will laugh at him, saying, "Behold, the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and was strong in his evil desire." And then he turns in the end of the psalm and he reminds himself of the importance of trusting in God and remembering the loving kindness of God forever. Okay, let's move over to the book of Mark now. Today we're in Mark chapter 13, beginning with verse 14, and we'll go through the end of the chapter. In this very first verse, you see the words "abomination that causes desolation." And for me, that's a difficult term, so I wanted to go to the study notes and to see what they said. The abomination of desolation is the desecration of the temple by God's enemies. This happens repeatedly in Israel's history. Remember back to Nebuchadnezzar in 597 when he looted the temple and took the Judean captives to Babylon. This would have been an abomination that causes desolation. Also in 168 BC, Antiochus Epiphanes sacrificed a pig to the Greek goddess Zeus on the sacred altar temple. And this was such an abomination, this unholy animal being sacrificed in the temple of the Lord. And then in AD 70, so after Jesus is talking here, when the Roman general Titus comes in to the burned out temple site, he places an idol there. And this is a sort of abomination of desolation as well. But we also will look forward to, well, not look forward to it, but we can project that perhaps this is not the ultimate fulfillment of this prophecy, that maybe again on the side of the temple there will be some type of abominable figure or idol that is set up in the future. So starting with verse 14. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down or enter the house to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this will not take place in winter, because those will be days of distress unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Messiah," or "Look, there he is," do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So be on your guard. I have told you everything ahead of time. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory, and he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. I love the little note in my study Bible because it helps kind of sum up what this chapter is talking about. It says the entire 13th chapter of Mark tells us how to live while we wait for Christ's return. Number one, we are not to be misled by confusing claims or speculative interpretations of what will happen. If you look back at verses 5 and 6, Jesus says, "See to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and will mislead many." Then number two, we should not be afraid to tell people about Christ, despite what they may say or do to us. This is referring to verses 9 through 11. Be on your guard. When they deliver you over to the courts, you're flogged in the synagogues. You'll stand before the governors and have to testify. And Jesus says, when they arrest you and hand you over, don't worry beforehand what to say. In that hour, I will give you what to say. It's the Holy Spirit speaking in you. Number three, we must stand firm by faith and not be surprised by persecution. Number four, we must be morally alert, obedient to the commands for living found in God's Word. This chapter was not given to promote discussions on prophetic timetables, but to stimulate right living for God in a world where He is largely ignored. Will you pray with me? Father, as we wait for Christ's return, help us to live in a way that honors you. Help us to be a people who are watchful, that we know you are returning. But as we wait, help us to be about the good of others around us, seeking to share the message of Christ and the redemption found only in Him. Bless my brothers and sisters as they go throughout their day, and go before them and go behind them. Go beside them, Lord, I pray. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.